Three Dog Thursday on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network of shows is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you in part by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use the promo code SGP for your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. And we're also brought to you in part by SoBet. Sign up and bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io. That's SoBet.io. We're also brought to you in part by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on head-to-head matchups. Download that app today or just head to bettorfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTORFantasy.com/SGPN. And we're also brought to you in part by the SGPN app. Just enter SGPN in the App Store or the Google Play Store to download it today.
Football fans, it's time to go on the record for this week's matchups in pro and college football with just one catch. We're only interested in underdogs. Who can keep it close, if not pull the outright upset? Time to find out. It's Three Dog Thursday. Now here's your host, TJ Reed.
Oh, yes, it is getting good now, and we are ready to roll with the latest edition of the only digital radio show that dives deep into those teams that are given less of a chance, usually the road team, into those underdogs as we get to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. I am merely the somewhat capable host. Coming up straight ahead, we've got Brian Edwards back with us from Vegas Insider and MajorWager.com doing some handicapping on the four matchups: Cincinnati, Tennessee, San Francisco, Green Bay, Rams at Tampa Bay, and then Buffalo at the Kansas City Chiefs. Four matchups, four interesting road underdogs. I actually like a couple of them this weekend. You already know, as I'm associated with the Buccaneer radio broadcast, I'm not taking the Rams against Tom Brady and the defending Super Bowl champs. Tampa Bay, baby, with a chance to go to the NFC Championship game for the second year in a row if they can knock off the Rams, who were winners back on Monday night over Arizona. It's a rematch. In fact, three of the four divisional round games are rematches, with the 49ers having lost to Green Bay. Now they get another chance at them at Lambeau. The Bucs having lost to the Rams, they get a chance at home at Raymond James Stadium. And the Bills having beaten the Chiefs in Arrowhead, and now they're back there in Kansas City again for the AFC divisional round. The only one that's not a rematch is Cincinnati and Tennessee that is upcoming for all of the playoff action that's happening this week as well. So we got lots to get to. Later on in the podcast, we will hear from a couple of my faves. Tyler Jones will be here. Love Tyler's insight. And he was at the Kansas City playoff win over Pittsburgh. Tyler with the Jones Report. You hear him each and every week with his own podcast. He's also part of the NASCAR racing podcast, Let's Go Racing with David Starr, Xfinity Series and NASCAR Series driver David Starr, who's a big football fan as well. David is smarting after the Cowboys lost to the 49ers last week. But anyway, Tyler does a great job with a couple of those shows. I love his insight. Again, he was right there in KC for the defending AFC champs, the two-time defending AFC champ Chiefs, and their playoff win. We'll get his thoughts on what he likes or not with the Bills. And then my buddy Jonas Knox from Fox Sports Radio. Love Jonas, who has worked his way up, rolled up the sleeves and worked his way up the hard way on Fox Sports Radio. Now the morning host with LeVar Arrington and Brady Quinn. Two pros and a cup of Joe is their morning show, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Love Jonas's insight, his humor. He's going to have a couple of takes on some underdogs. In fact, a couple of them. He will join us later on in the podcast. Reminder, however you found us, through a social media link, through the Sports Gambling Podcast, Sports Gambling Podcast Network of shows, whether you found us through their website, make sure that you follow follow us or subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, subscribe. We're automatically out on Thursday, come automatically to you. And then we stay relevant through the weekend, through the Saturday and Sunday playoff games. We're even going to start talking a little college basketball. You're going to hear Brian Edwards and me talk a little college hoops here in a little bit as well. Tyler was at the Kansas-Oklahoma game in Big 12 action. So college basketball underdogs will become part of this show as we go for the next few weeks here into March Madness and the Final Four. We'll start with a little bit of that today. So whenever you hear the podcast, we try to stay relevant for Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday. We do our best, but you'll get it automatically. You don't even have to remember. You'll get the ding. You'll get the reminder on your device through the SGPN app or by subscribing on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcast, 2-3 Dog Thursday. So we're going to get cranking with our guests. Again, I like a couple of underdogs. You're going to hear me talking about the 49ers. You're going to hear me talking about the Buffalo Bills, one in each conference, and the reasons why for underdogs in this playoff weekend. Bucks off the big win over the Eagles. I say again here on 3 Dog Thursday, sorry, Sean Green. Sorry, your buddies on the Die Hard Eagles podcast, but they knew this was coming. They knew the Buccaneers were going to win and win decisively. And at 24-0, then 31-0 in the third quarter, it's exactly what we expected from Brady and the Bucks putting the sledgehammer on the Eagles, who were just not ready for that playoff situation with a first-year coach and a rookie quarterback getting out there, second-year quarterback, first time he's really played in the big situations, including a playoff game. You're not going to beat Tom Brady and Bruce Arians' veteran coaching staff. And the Buccaneer defense, I'm saying again here on 3 Dog Thursday, the Buccaneer defense comes around, gets healthier, Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul on the defensive line. This team, if they get some kind of defensive help for Tom Brady, look out. I said the same thing a year ago, over and over. The doubters and the haters, I'm saying it to you again, that if the Bucs get some kind of defensive play on Sunday against the Rams to go along with Brady taking care of the ball and making some plays on offense, look out. This team's going to be in the NFC Championship game. So in any event, I like what I see out of the Buccaneers. Again, there were four blowouts out of the six games, including Buffalo winning easily over New England. It bears repeating again. I know the Patriots made the playoffs, but a lot of what they did down the stretch to secure a playoff spot in the middle of the season by beating the New York Jets twice, beating the Houston Texans, who were awful and fired their coach, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were awful and had already fired their coach and got the number one overall pick. Some of that was foolishness. Some of that was a mirage, because when it came time to beat the Indianapolis Colts, when it came time to beat the Buffalo Bills, when it came time to beat the Miami Dolphins at the end of the year to secure the division, playing three teams with winning records, they lost to all of them. So I was not surprised that Buffalo beat them and beat them decisively at home the other night. That did not surprise me. It really did surprise me that we had four different games, Buccaneers over the Eagles after that, and then I thought the Steelers would be better, but the Chiefs just destroyed them after the first quarter of that game the other night. And then the same thing with the Cardinals, who barely showed up on Monday night for an easy Ram victory. And I don't buy in that DeAndre Hopkins makes that much of a difference where you're not even competitive for Arizona. So the Rams get the easy win, but four blowouts in the six super wild card games from last weekend, including both of the seven seeds playing on Sunday and just getting wiped out by the Buccaneers and by the Chiefs for the expanded playoffs. So in any event, let's get to it. Let's talk about the underdogs. Brian Edwards is straight ahead. Tyler Jones and Jonas Knox are with me later on in the program. I look forward to having them aboard on the show. Let's get rolling, though, right now with all of the conversations about the playoffs, the doggies, and much more. As mentioned, he is leading it off here as we head to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. So it's getting good with that. And I've got some underdogs that I do like that I want to talk with Brian Edwards of Vegas Insider and MajorWager.com about. Good to have him back aboard on 3 Dog Thursday. How you feeling? Ready for some more NFL playoffs? We'll even squeeze in maybe a college basketball underdog with Brian. As again, this show will become a little more college basketball over the next couple of weeks, and then the NFL is basically done except for the Super Bowl, so lots more college basketball until it's done. Mr. Edwards, how you feeling here as we head towards another round of the NFL playoffs?
Oh, I'm feeling good. I've been hot in NFL. I was on an 18-10 run, but I struggled this past week. The Raiders, man, outplayed Cincy and couldn't even cover the six. And I only had one winner. That was your Bucks.
There we go.
Very good to me, though. I was kind of in chase mode and got a little aggressive with the Bucks, like first quarter, first half in game, and it worked splendidly.
Or you can be like friends of mine, more than one of them, that had Gronkowski to score a touchdown at any point in the game and were getting it literally like 3 or 4 to 1 and did very well when Gronk caught the third quarter touchdown. In Tom Brady, we trust in the postseason, for you, for me, and for everybody else. And we'll have more on that with the Rams game coming up here in just a second. Before we get there, if you had been with me on the show, I was touting San Francisco and got that underdog last week against Dallas. I am looking strongly at them in Green Bay. I know the Packers at home, decided advantage, freezing cold. San Francisco has basically been on the road now for three straight weeks having to do this and on the high wire, as I like to say, of elimination. If they don't do this, they win at LA to get in the playoffs. They win at Dallas, but now they're getting points again against Green Bay. What is your thought here with Green Bay off the bye week? Could San Francisco catch them and give them a game Saturday night in the cold?
They definitely can. They definitely can. But I give Green Bay a huge edge in the quarterback department. And like you said, that travel is, can start to be a factor for sure. Although, the trip, trip to LA. I don't know how long that flight is,
right,
but anyhow,
right.
But I lean Green Bay. I mean, I think Green Bay is a great tease team or money line parlay, but I mean, I could see the Niners covering. I don't know that I'm going to lay the points with Green Bay. And I see you're thinking, man, they're definitely hot. They're definitely hot.
They can run the ball, which is something, yes, Green Bay's deficient at. We've seen Deebo Samuel there running it. They've used a bevy of different running backs, but they've run the ball well recently, San Francisco. And that may be one of those where they say to the Packers, you prove to us you can stop the run before we start doing anything with Jimmy Garoppolo trying to throw the ball downfield. That'll be a fascinating component to this game, will it not, on the Packers' ability to stop the run or not?
Yeah, it will be. And Deebo Samuel, is such a beast, and he was so good at South Carolina and remains very good at his now a wide receiver / running back. I haven't even looked at the weather yet. I mean, I don't even really look in Green Bay. You just know it's going to be brutal.
Correct.
And
the latest I saw as we released the podcast on Thursday, 10 degrees for the high, 10 for the high on Saturday. But I don't know about snow. So we got to pay attention to that, too. It definitely will be freezing cold. There is no doubt, as you said.
Yeah, in January for sure. Now, again, the wind or whatever could change that. But I mean, the over's on a 6-1 run for Green Bay. As for San Fran, the under has been 1-3 is on a 5-1 run. I would have to look at the weather before giving an opinion there.
And the 49ers, again, as well, have covered, obviously, in outright wins as an upset the last couple of weeks. They've covered in 5 of their last 6 games. Playoff mode for them, really, since the end of the season. The last 2 or 3 weeks, they were basically in playoff mode. Got to win or else. Let's see if they can summon it. That one will be on Saturday. Okay, so counterpoint to me, because I am the Buccaneer guy. I'm part of the Buccaneer radio broadcast with Gene Deckerhoff, Dave Moore. Great performance by Tom Brady and company last week. Obviously, everybody knows and believes when they hear me, I'm going to take the Buccaneers in this situation. So the Rams are the road doggy. Revenge mode for the Bucs. Rams off an impressive showing Monday night, but it's a short week coming all the way across the country. One less day. Brian, analyze it objectively here, because I can be criticized that I'm not objective. Analyze Bucs and Rams for me.
Well, you made the point there. It's a long flight and it's a short week. And, whether it's regular season or playoffs, when you have a short week and you got to fly all the way across the country, that's a major red flag. Talk to me about your offensive tackle. Is he going to be able to go or not? It didn't look good when he went back in the game.
At this stage midweek, we don't know, but Bruce Arians said high ankle sprain for Tristan Wirfs. That's usually, Brian, we're not doctors. We just play them on the Three Dog Thursday podcast. That's usually 2 or 3 weeks. And the bigger concern, and I keep saying this on interviews that I'm doing everywhere, and I might as well say it on the podcast here. You try it with him, and it's obvious he can't go. He can't block Von Miller. He can't go. you've now wasted a roster spot, an active roster spot for another offensive lineman that you could maybe use. So I don't know that they're going to try it. I don't have any insight as we head to Sunday, but I don't know that they're going to try it. I think they may rest him and risk that, hey, we can get by this game. We can game plan with extra blockers on the right side if we need to, and let him get healthier for potential NFC title game. There's my thought, but it definitely is a big concern because Wirfs has been a monster as a one-on-one blocker. And now apparently he'll minimally be 50%, if not playing at all.
Right. Yeah. But you know, I am endorsing the, I know we don't do that on this show, but I'm not on the underdog. Let's just say that the Bucs 8-1 straight up, 7-2 against the spread at home. Actually, and that might be a regular season stat. That might should be adjusted to 9.
No, that's correct. That's correct. It includes the game last week. So it's been nine home games and 7-2 against the number. And revenge mode for the Buccaneers having lost in September as well. Doesn't this game come down to if Tom Brady plays anything like what we've seen in this remarkable season and the Bucs aren't turning the ball over, they have a fantastic chance to win this game at home?
Yeah, no doubt. They should win this game at home, in my opinion, and I think they will. Now, Jensen, I know he got banged up, but he came back and played the rest of the game, and he's completely good, right?
Well, he's going to be listed as questionable, but he gutted it out, ankle problem, shoulder problem, and he is a rock in the middle. He's got to block Aaron Donald along with the guards. Ooh. So we'll see how that goes for this game coming up with the Rams. And Matthew Stafford finally won a playoff game back on Monday night for the first time in his career, in 13 years of his career. Now he's got to go on the road and see if he can win one coming up. Brian doesn't think that he will. There's the objective answer from Brian Edwards of Vegas Insider and MajorWager.com. Okay, again,
I'm glad they were so impressive because if they didn't blow Arizona out, this number would be well north of 3, or not well north, but it would be at least 4 or 5, I think. But LA looks so doggone good. And I'm glad they look good because that gives us value with Tampa.
All right, there you go on that. So I love the Buffalo Bills play. I believe they are the most dangerous team in the AFC. I know Tennessee's the one seed. I know that the Chiefs are the defending champs the last 2 years in the AFC. I like Buffalo in this spot. They were devastating, obviously, against New England. They beat the Chiefs head-to-head earlier in the year, so it's revenge for the Chiefs. We got several revenge games. Including the Buccaneer matchup with the Rams. This is revenge for the Chiefs in this situation at home. But Buffalo has been very good against the number, very good as the road underdog, having covered against Kansas City earlier in the year, having covered against New England late in the year. They blow New England out last week. I believe they're coming on at the right time. Care to talk me out of the Bills for Three Dog Thursday purposes against Kansas City in the final game of the divisional round weekend coming this weekend?
I do not care to talk you out of it, but I will just say that I think both teams are in really good form, and the side is a toss-up to me, a coin flip. I don't want anything to do with it. I will say that the over has cashed in 6 in a row for Kansas City, and it is a high total to be sure. Anything in the mid 50s is high for the NFL, but it was a 38-20 game when they met earlier in the year. Now there was a pick 6 in that game though, but I mean, it was 31-13 with 7 minutes left in the third. So it was on pace, it was 24-13 at halftime.
And
so,
remember, that game had a 90-minute weather delay because of lightning in the middle of it. I believe it was in the third quarter that they had like a 90 or second quarter. They had a 90-minute weather delay too early on in the year in Kansas City. And yet Buffalo came back from the weather delay even and pulled off the outright win. I know they lost Tre'Davious White, the outstanding cover corner, lost him for the year, torn ACL back in November. I still love this Buffalo defense to be opportunistic here. And I know it's almost blasphemy to go against Mahomes at Arrowhead in a playoff situation. Just watch Watch the Buffalo Bills here for that matchup for Three Dog Thursday purposes. We will see. A few more moments with Brian Edwards before you have to get out of here, and we do as well. As I said, college basketball on our consciousness right now, on our radar. At the time we're releasing the podcast and the time that Brian and I are taping, we do not have the lines at the moment for the Thursday night games, but there are a couple of Thursday night games that you are interested in and I'm interested in. Now, for example, Purdue at Indiana in the Big Ten on Thursday night for college basketball underdog purposes, what would you have that line at right now? What do we guess that it's going to probably be?
I think Purdue will probably be 4-ish. Now, there is a injury situation with Indiana. I saw on Twitter earlier today that their big man, Trace Jackson Davis did not practice yesterday. They were going to see if he can practice Wednesday, and they think he is going to go play, but he's a double-double machine. He's averaging 19.5 points, 9.1 rebounds, 2.9 block shots per game. So if he's not 100%, that could, factor into this one. But on the road, it'll be a short number, but I think Purdue's got to be at least 4.
And again, Purdue, one of the top teams in the country and also in the Big Ten. Indiana's taken a couple of losses, but it's going to be rocking at Assembly Hall for a Thursday night Big Ten game. And there's one more game that you're interested in, Gonzaga and San Francisco. No, not the 49ers, the Dons of San Francisco traveling to Gonzaga. Again, we do not have a spread at the time that we're taping. Gonzaga has been a score fest machine recently. What do you think this number might be at the Kennel in Spokane here with one of the top teams in the country playing a conference game?
I'm hoping it's going to be more than 15, because that is probably my buy price for the Dons, who have a really solid squad this year. They're 15-3. They've got some quality wins. They beat Davidson, which has won 14 in a row. They beat UAB, which is number 43 in KenPom on a neutral court. They beat Fresno State, which is number 56 at KenPom. They won at Arizona State, which is Bobby Hurley's having a rebuilding year. But their three losses, they lost by 2 to BYU. They lost by 5 to Loyola Chicago, who's number 21 in KenPom and really hasn't missed a beat despite losing Cameron Crutwig. And their other loss was by 1 to Grand Canyon, which is Bryce Drew's team, which is really good as well, 99 in KenPom and a 14-2 record. So Gonzaga will be the best team they've played, but it's not like they've been playing a bunch of cupcakes. And so San Fran, if they're getting more than 15, I'll be looking at the Dons.
Well, and that game with Loyola Chicago was a pop-up game, a pickup game.
That was beautiful.
Where both of them wanted an opponent. Both of them were not on COVID pause, but their opponents were on COVID pause, and they agreed to meet at a junior college in Utah as kind of like a neutral place to play. Not even, whatever it is, the downtown arena now where the Jazz play, not the University
of
Utah,
not
the old Delta Center or whatever they call it now, but they met at a Utah junior college to play that game, and Loyola of Chicago won the game, but that'll help San Francisco's strength of schedule too.
Sure.
Down the road, who have played that game on a neutral floor. So let's see if they can hang in there with Gonzaga on a Thursday night. But Gonzaga with Nembhard, the former Florida guard, the transfer who was part of their national championship runner-up team last year. Drew Timmy has been outstanding. Chet Holmgren, the 7-footer, athletic, can shoot the ball, blocking shots. Gonzaga is loaded. So that'll be a fun game. And again, you're interested more so in the higher number, the higher it goes for the spread. So if that one were to come in at like 10 or 11, you would be stay away.
Yeah, probably not enough. But I think it's a good chance to be more than 15. 15 will be the price. If it's 15, I'll play it. I'd love to get an 18 or 19. I mean, look, BYU, they just beat them by 26. Mm. They beat Santa Clara by 32. Santa Clara, you know, they're 86 at KenPom. They're decent. And so it might be more than 20. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see what that line is for Gonzaga and San Francisco Thursday night basketball. You may already know that answer, and you may already know that outcome if you're listening later in the weekend for the NFL stuff. Brian, I know you're going to be tweeting away. You're going to be having your content all over the place as this playoff weekend, the divisional round of the playoffs, starts with Cincinnati at Tennessee and then San Francisco at Green Bay for the two games Saturday. Buccaneers hosting the Rams, and then the Chiefs play host to Buffalo for the two Sunday games. Plug away on how they find all of your stuff, all of your content, including your plays for this weekend, if you would.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Vegas B Edwards. All my picks are on VegasInsider.com, and you can find all my content at MajorWager.com. If you want to give a follow to the Major Wager Twitter page, I tweet out injury info, trends, etc. That is at Major Wager Uno. Thanks for having me. As always, TJ, go Bucks this weekend.
Oh, it's going to be huge. I love it. I love the fact that you're all over. It's going to be huge with the Rams this weekend. Brian Edwards, thank you. We will roll on with more underdog talk in the NFL, etc. Stay with us. But first, we're brought to you in part by WynnBET. If you're ready to win money and boost your odds, WynnBET is here for you, and it's now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. They're bringing you the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards, everything right at your fingertips. Get all of the best plays for the college football wrapping up, the NFL, obviously down the home stretch of the regular season and the playoffs coming up. They've got the NBA, the NHL, anything that you want with WynnBET. And WynnBET now has some brand new bonuses. Bet $5 to win $400 in the free bets contest that they have. That includes getting a VIP trip to Shaquille O'Neal's Fun House in Los Angeles. That's right. You bet $20 on WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet feature, and you earn a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime VIP experience for the big game. You and three guests get to go to Shaq's Fun House two nights at Wynn Las Vegas, a $5,000 free bet at Wynn Las Vegas Sportsbook, and a $5,000 travel credit, all as part of this contest. They have great promos like this going on, and all you got to do is go to WynnBET and their app, sign up and be able to do it. The odds, the payouts, it's all happening at WynnBET. Boosted parlays, live in-game odds, every major sport, everything you need. Plus, you can bet $5 to win $400 in free bets. And be sure to check out WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet Boosted Same Game Parlays headed into this weekend's NFL divisional round of the playoffs. Most of these boosts fall between 10 and 15% of the original price. Find out more at WynnBET.com and the WynnBET app. Brought to you in part by SoBet. Since when is sports betting supposed to be so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around at a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account and find out for yourself. Fully functioning, free web application. You can access a demo of their app that will launch next fall. That app includes consensus lines from Las Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via a text, a QR code, or links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app, and it's purely competitive. Next time that you're going to be out with your friends watching sports, turn it up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off the Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing the metric if they want, as long as somebody's on the other side to accept it. Let's go back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io. That's SoBet.io and join the revolution. And we're brought to you in part by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. If you're not using PropSwap, you're just missing out. PropSwap is America's number one app to buy and sell those sports bets, and you can find the best odds in the country because you're buying directly from other bettors. Use our promo code SGP, and your first deposit for PropSwap will be doubled up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. And if you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Sellers across the country list their bets for sale, and thousands of buyers visit PropSwap every day to find the best odds on futures, props, and parlay. Like Will from Arizona, who Sunday night sold his $50 100-1 49ers Super Bowl ticket for $500 on PropSwap. Will locked in his profit when he turned his $50 bet into $500. The buyer got great odds. The seller made 10 times his bet. The average prop swapper makes $500 a month just buying and selling sports bets through PropSwap. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or just download the app in the Google Play or the Apple Store. PropSwap, it's where America buys and sells sports bets. And we're brought to you in part by Better Fantasy. The fantasy season might be over, but the action is still coming on Better Fantasy's app. Download their free-to-play app today and bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player prop pools and score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because we can win awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way, too. It's totally free to play. You'll earn better credits by competing in challenges and using them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide and in all 50 states. Download the app today at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR, betterfantasy.com/SGPN. And a reminder, the SGPN app is right there live now in the App Store and the Google Play Store. This app gives you easy access to all of our picks, all of our podcasts, everything in the content from the SGPN family of shows and everything that's going on the app. Don't forget, give us an app review. Download the SGPN app today in the App Store and the Google Play Store. Look for us. It's the SGPN app.
The dogs are barking. Who will get it done this week? Three Dog Thursday now continues. Here again is TJ Reeves.
Yes, indeed. We are back in. We love those underdogs, the insight from all of our guests, the handicapping plays. Again, I did come through with the San Francisco 49ers last week. I'm looking strongly at the 49ers. I know our next guest is going to poo-poo the fact that I'm looking strongly at the Buffalo Bills for the matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs. I always love talking with Tyler Jones of the Jones Report, the inside of the podcast in the Midwest, in and around Kansas City. Oh, and looky here. Oh, by the way, it used to be that it was the summer of Jones, the summer of 2021 when you were traveling around. It was now the weekend of Jones, I'm dubbing it, in January, because you hit up Tyler Jones being at the Chiefs game with the Steelers and followed it up with a little KU Kansas Jayhawk basketball against Oklahoma and a KU road win. It was the weekend of Jones. Good to have you back aboard on Three Dog Thursday.
DJ, always good to hear from you, my friend. Yeah, it was fantastic. Great weekend. Got to see both my teams win. The Jayhawks getting a win over Oklahoma, and then the Chiefs with a dominating performance against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that was great. And got to see some family and some friends along the way. So it's all good. Certainly happy to be with you, TJ, and a lot to talk about this week.
No doubt. All right, so let's get into the Chiefs game and the win over Pittsburgh, where they had a little bit of a struggle early on in the game, a punt fest, and then the Steelers got a defensive touchdown. But boy, when Mahomes and company kicked it into gear, it became a runaway. It became a 35-7 game in the third quarter. That's me saying that. You were there in the Chiefs atmosphere. What was it like to witness it firsthand and what the Chiefs did?
It was awesome. It was so great that they actually ran out of touchdown fireworks because of how many scores the Chiefs had.
Literally, they had none left.
Literally none left. They only had enough left for the post-game celebration afterwards. So that's how prolific the Chiefs' offense was. They looked like a complete football team. They ran the ball well. They were great through the air. I really loved what I saw from the Chiefs on Sunday night. And just everything. I mean, the defense, the offense, everything was there. And throughout the year, this Chiefs team has gone through peaks and valleys. And, when one thing's working, another thing's not. That's been the story of this team throughout, 2021. When, the offense looked great, then the defense was struggling. Or the defense looked great, and the offense was struggling. And they went on that, 6-7 game winning streak, and everything looked like it had been solved. And then they lose the Bengals, blowing that big lead. And barely beat the Broncos the week after that. So people were like, oh, okay, well, what's going on here? And then, what do you know, the way they played in that playoff game really just put everything together. And this team kicked it into another gear. And, you look at this matchup with the Bills. The Bills are, when they're at their best, they're as good as any team in football. And what I wonder coming into this weekend is what Chiefs and what Bills team are we going to see? Based on what I saw last week, we have reason to think that both these teams are going to put their best foot forward, but that remains to be seen. That's why we play the games.
That is why we line it up and play these one more on the whole atmosphere and being around it before we get back into the nuts and bolts of what the Bills can or won't be able to do against Kansas City. For those that have not experienced it, I've been there on a couple of occasions. I've obviously not been there for a playoff game. What is it like with the tailgate? How soon on Sunday did you get there to be around the tailgate? Because it's legendary. What is all of that like leading up to the game and then the loud atmosphere in the crowd? Sans the fireworks that they weren't shooting off in the second half. But what is all of that like? Share that with the audience.
So cool story. My dad, he had never been to a Pittsburgh Steelers game, and he's a lifelong Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And I was able to bring him and go to his first game, his first NFL game, might I add, as well.
Wow.
And being alongside dad to take it all in was just phenomenal. I was so happy for him that he got to enjoy it all. And you know, from all the tailgate scene, you know, the sky before we entered the stadium was red. And I told my dad, I said, there it is. God's cheering for the Chiefs tonight. And, I mean, it was awesome. And, you know, we'd heard all week how cold it was going to be. And then when we finally got to the stadium itself, all those people around and, you know, everybody treating you like family of some sorts. Like, I didn't even need my heavy coat. Like, it was a rocking atmosphere. The energy was certainly felt from start to finish in that game.
Voice of Tyler Jones. You can find him at Tyler Jones Live on social media. The Jones Report is the podcast. We'll talk to you more about that as he will have a full preview of everything with the Chiefs and the Bills on his own show coming this weekend. But I've got him here, borrowing him on Three Dog Thursday. Okay, I kind of talked about this earlier in the podcast. It's kind of a revenge. It is a revenge weekend over and over again for the 49ers against the Packers, for the Rams against the Bucs, the Buccaneers in a revenge mode. And the same thing with the Chiefs in a revenge mode at home here with the Buffalo Bills. How much stock do you put in what happened all the way back at the beginning of the season, late September, early October, whatever it was, for that regular season matchup? Do you put much into that here for Buffalo, Kansas City?
Well, I look at it this way. If I learned anything from the Chiefs' Super Bowl loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is that you don't need to really look too much into the prior matchup. You know, the Chiefs had their way with the Bucs last year. Then, of course, the Bucs took them to town in that Super Bowl, you know, just a few weeks later. We saw this year in college football, the national championship game. Only 4 weeks apart in Georgia and Alabama looked like two completely different teams from those games. So, no, I don't read much into what happened earlier this year. But what I do look at is just the fact that you've seen what the Bills are capable of. I think that's what you can take away from that first matchup is that you can say, hey, look, the Bills are a special team. This team can do something and be great and that they can't be taken lightly. I think that if you're the Chiefs, what you look at that game is a wake-up call of some sorts that, hey, these guys can beat you. They can get that done. So that's where I look at that first game is that you shouldn't be caught off guard by how good this Bills team is. They should have the Chiefs' full attention. And if they don't, then the Chiefs are going to be severely mistaken here.
Again, Buffalo on a roll, as I was talking about earlier in the podcast, looked devastating against New England. I saw them firsthand at field level against the Buccaneers in a game where they were being wiped out and then showed a lot of heart to come roaring back behind Josh Allen down the stretch of the game, forced the overtime before the Bucs won it on the catch and run by Breshad Perriman. So give me your thought here on Kansas City and their defense and trying to contain Josh Allen and what he may or may not be able to do.
Man, you look at Josh Allen, he's got such a great arm, right? And the Chiefs, their pass rush has really stepped up since they brought in Melvin Ingram this year. I think that they're going to try to wreak havoc on Josh Allen and try to keep him in the pocket. He is so good outside the pocket when he escapes pressure and when he runs for first downs or throws on the run. I think they're going to do what they can to keep him in the pocket to get pressure on him. you know, even if they only get a sack or two, as long as they can keep him to rest, you know, then I think they'll be feeling great about themselves. I think that's the key for the Chiefs defense, is get pressure on Josh Allen. The Chiefs have struggled stopping the run game all year long. I think that they have to balance out the two. You know, you have to be able to not only get pressure on Josh Allen, but have to contain the run game to an extent as well. And so those would be the keys for this team defensively.
All right. Again, this was the AFC Championship game a year ago, so it's like double revenge because Buffalo didn't win in that situation and Kansas City did to go on to the Super Bowl. So let's see how it is going to play out. Again, as somebody that has a vested interest that obviously roots on the Chiefs in addition to your duties, you will know the Chiefs are fine if you see what, especially in the first half, if not the first quarter of the game. What's an indicator for you the Chiefs are going to be fine, they're going to get this done in advance of the AFC title game for a third straight time?
I would say an indicator for me is how they start this game. One of the things that I look at with this Chiefs team is if you watch the teams from a couple years ago, that team that won the Super Bowl, everyone remembers that divisional game against the Texans when they were down 28-3 and came back and had the lead by halftime. I think with this Chiefs team, what you look at with these guys is that they don't have that same quick comeback ability like that previous team did a couple years ago. I don't think the Chiefs can come back from down by, you know, three scores if that's the case here. If they are not even leading at halftime, if they're within striking distance, then they're fine. They're in good shape. But I would be very worried if this team is down by a significant margin. I don't think this team can come back from that. I think that is too insurmountable. They don't have the capabilities like that previous team did.
All right, we will find out in this one again. That will cap the divisional weekend on Sunday night. I'm most interested in Bucks-Rams before it. The second part of that is Saturday evening, 5:30 Central Time. The matchup between Kansas City and Buffalo, the rematch of the AFC title win by the Chiefs a year ago. Love this man's insight on all things, including Kansas Jayhawks and Big 12 basketball. Quick comment from you. How wide open is the Big 12 right now with these upsets? I mean, you're looking at probably at least four or five NCAA tournament teams out of that conference for college basketball purposes. But Baylor takes a couple of losses recently. You look at some other teams. You know, Kansas had the dramatic win over Iowa State, but they've taken a couple of losses up at the top of the Big 12. You can't figure out, is Texas good or not? Oklahoma good or not? You know, the conference has been knocked down, drag out. Give me a thought on your end watching this. And you were right there watching Kansas win at Oklahoma earlier in the week.
This Big 12 conferences have been a lot of fun to watch. I love what the Big 12 has put together as a product from top to bottom this year. You know, we weren't expecting Texas Tech or Iowa State to be anything with new head coaches. And here they are as perennial top 25 teams this year. That's been certainly impressive to see. And I know it sounds cliche, but night in and night out, every game is tough in this league. You got Oklahoma State, who looks like a, you know, seventh or eighth place team, beating Baylor on the road in Waco a couple weeks ago. Or last week, rather.
Right.
All these different circumstances where it's just so tough time and time again. I mean, I think realistically, Kansas, Baylor, and Texas all are capable of making the Final Four. When they're playing their best, I think they are all Final Four caliber teams. And, you know, this Kansas team that I saw the other night, you know, the thing that I like about this Kansas team is that they can – score from every position, you know, from they got all five positions are so good offensively. But what I wonder is defensively, they can be soft at times, especially in the low post with David McCormick. If you want to beat this Kansas team, you got to have a good big. You got to have a big that can dominate, whether it's down low or on the perimeter or whatever it may be. That's how you beat this Kansas team. And we've seen that they've lost some games that they should have won if they would have just taken care of business. And the thing that I think that's infuriating for Kansas fans is that you see this team is capable of it. That when McCormick's on, he can defend the low post. That Mitch Lightfoot has had his moments as well down there, but it's too inconsistent. So that's what this Kansas team needs to figure out. They have the offense, they have the scores, but can this team defend the low post? That remains to be seen.
Well, we will find out. And again, on the weekend, as we release the Three Dog Thursday podcast, the Kansas Jayhawks play at Kansas State, as you know, Tyler, in Manhattan. That's always a knockdown, drag-out game, rivalry game. Oklahoma, who you just saw, hosts Baylor also about the same time on Saturday afternoon. Texas Tech, West Virginia, Saturday. Iowa State, TCU, who's pretty good, playing at Iowa State Saturday afternoon. Look out for the Big 12. It is a deep conference, and of course Baylor won the whole thing a year ago out of the Big 12. We'll see how that goes. I love this guy's insight. He is ready for Big 12 basketball Saturday. He's ready for the Chiefs and the Bills in the divisional round of the playoffs Sunday. Tyler Jones, tell them how they find you on social media, how they hear your content as well on the show, on the podcast. Fire away, plug away.
The Jones Report, available each and every week on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Also, if you're into NASCAR, check out Let's Go Racing with David Starr, myself, NASCAR driver David Starr, talking racing each and every week. And we have a lot of fun doing that as well. And it's on all those podcast platforms as well as YouTube. So all that on Twitter, Tyler Jones Live as well. And certainly a lot of great stuff going on, and excited to bring it to you guys.
I love it. Again, the Jones Report is the podcast where he talks everything. And Let's Go Racing with David Starr. David is tremendous. Great sense of humor as a driver. He's hurting right now because his Dallas Cowboys blew it last weekend. So David is not having a good time right now with that one.
He jumped on the Chiefs bandwagon. I think he's going to be okay. So
now he's
charge on with the Chiefs. I think David's going to be fine. Patrick Mahomes is a Texas guy, so he's going to be okay. He can jump on the bandwagon. We'll let him.
I love that. Let's Go Racing with David Starr is that podcast. It'll be Daytona before we know it, too, in the new NASCAR season and the new Xfinity season, the one step down where David races as well. It's a fun podcast.
We got the Clash coming up from the L.A. Coliseum here in like 2 weeks.
I can't believe that, too. That'll be going on as well. Love it, Tyler Jones. Thank you for hanging with me. Let's see what happens with the Bills and the Chiefs and everything else. I appreciate your time on Three Dog Thursday.
Appreciate it. Thanks,
TJ. And to wrap things up, always love the insight, the analysis, the point of view, the humor. This guy, I give him so much credit. You talk about dedicated. Dedicated big time. First of all, he worked with me on Fox Sports Radio on Saturday nights and lived to tell the story, and has now carved out quite a niche as the morning show host nationally on Fox Sports Radio with LeVar Arrington and Brady Quinn, known as the Pros and a Cup of Joe, weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. I love me, Mr. Joe, Brother Knox, as I call him, Jonas Knox, back aboard on the Three Dog Thursday podcast. How you feeling, my friend, on a playoff weekend for the NFL?
I mean, listen, we go back a long ways. And by a long ways, I mean we go back Saturday nights at Fox Sports Radio, when I would have to try and understand what you were saying on whatever boxing conversation we were having, because we were the only two on network radio who gave a rip about boxing.
Right, right.
And you were trying to sneak in some Publix pretzels in between a 4-hour shift to talk college football and squeeze in a little, do you think Manny Pacquiao has a shot in this fight, et cetera, et cetera. So we go
you
back a
remember
long,
me
long
too
ways.
Well. And it's good to know that the Publix pretzels are still part of the regular TJ show routine. So nothing has changed in the years since. So enough of the love fest, because the audience is here to hear us talk a little NFL playoffs and underdogs. So we've got the super wild card weekend out of the way. And boy, wasn't that enjoyable to watch four different games: Buffalo killing New England, my Bucks over the Eagles, the Chiefs over the Steelers, and the Rams over the Cardinals, where the game was basically over when the opposing team got off the bus and it was a blowout. So hopefully the football will be better this weekend. Bengals Titans, followed by 49ers Packers Saturday, and then you're out on the West Coast, you're in LA, the Rams earlier start time, noon local time, 3 Eastern time, against the Buccaneers, followed by Chiefs and Bills. So Jonas, just overall, you're talking a lot about it on your show this week. How amped up are you LeVar, Brady, the audience, et cetera, to get ready to go for the divisional round of the playoffs this weekend?
Well, I'm amped up because it's a law of averages. I mean, there's no possible way these games are going to be as bad as some of these earlier games were. So I just look at it and go, well, at least we got the bad stuff out of the way. Now we can get to the good stuff. Enough with the, you know, the broccoli and the sauteed mushrooms. Let's get to the carbs. Let's get to the dessert. Enough of the other stuff. I think we've got real fun matchups. I think the gambling lines would indicate so, that they feel like a lot of these matchups are going to be pretty close. And I do think, and I know this is a show about underdogs, I do think there are a couple of dogs that are live dogs, in fact, heading into this weekend.
Okay, that's the perfect segue. My man just knows how to do it off of Fox Sports Radio. Give me one. Yeah, is it one of the Saturday ones? Because I've already been touting the 49ers. Are you joining on that one? Are you maybe taking the Bengals? Are you maybe taking both? I don't know. So give me one you like.
I like Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati is a real live dog at Tennessee. I look at the Derrick Henry situation and I go, it's been a long time since we've seen them. And let's not get it twisted. That team goes as Derrick Henry goes. We've seen Ryan Tannehill in the postseason for the Titans, and it wasn't pretty. I mean, he was throwing for under 100 yards at New England in that game where they iced Tom Brady and sent him packing to your neck of the woods. I just think him coming back, I for a 100% believe he's going to play. I don't know to what capacity, but even if he does, Cincinnati's a top five run defense. If they're going to win this game, Ryan Tannehill is going to have to throw the football. Tennessee's defense has not been good, which I think has been frustrating for Mike Vrabel, a defensive guy for so long in the league. I think it's going to be a problem. I think they got over the hurdle with one of these. It's been 30-something years since the franchise did, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think Joe Burrow and that team is hot, and I think they're going to go on the road. I think they're going to steal one at Tennessee.
How about the Bungles are no longer the Bungles? They've covered in each of their last five games, including the playoff win over the Raiders, and even as an underdog, covering in Kansas City in an outright win. Also covering in Denver in an outright win late in the year. So they've been good as a doggy. And it's been so long, you know, I love these references, you and I. We go all the way back to the Bengals' last playoff win. MC Hammer had just released Hammer Time. You can't touch this with the parachute pants. The post-game interview was O.J. Simpson interviewing the late Sam Weich. That's how long it's been since the Bengals won a playoff game.
I mean, I'm not really sure what OJ has been up to since, but the great Sam Weish, anytime we can squeeze in a Sam Weish reference to where if you grew up watching late 80s, early 90s yep. NFL, you just remember Sam Weish for two things. He always had the black Cincinnati and cursive Bengals hat on. Yes. And he was the guy who coined the term. What was it? You don't live in Cleveland, you live in Cincinnati. One of the great parting shots to a rival in-state foe. So that was always fun.
The PA microphone, Sam, I am, always. That and the no huddle that they were putting on people. But yes, that's how long it's been. All right, so he loves the Bengals. What is underdog number two? I'm just curious here. I don't know these for the audience on Three Dog Thursday from Jonas Knox of Fox Sports Radio. What is underdog number two that you like this weekend?
All right, let me just preface this by saying I do have some mixed feelings about this because, Teej, you're my guy. Mm-hmm. Eric Oligny, a comedian, is a big-time Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan.
That's
great,
right.
Dude. I met him through the brilliantly talented and a guy that's missed every day, Brody Stevens.
That's right.
Who was an in-studio guest and just a phenomenal guy through and through. Always a fun discussion with him. And then I have a dear friend named Maddie, all of which are diehard Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans, have a vested, close, personal interest in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I feel like these injuries could be an issue. And I feel like if Matt Stafford can just not turn the ball over, I think the Rams have a real opportunity. I don't like it as much as I like Cincinnati, but I do feel like Tampa Bay with the injuries and the uncertainty there, if you can get a Matt Stafford who looks somewhat similar, hopefully a little bit more improved than what he was on Monday night, because everybody assumes that was just this great epic playoff performance. He wasn't that great. Right. But if we can get something out of him in which he doesn't turn the ball over, I think the Rams have a real shot on the road.
And you should know Jonas is based in LA, but he is no Rams apologist. You just are looking at the spot here and liking the Rams. And this is a good counterbalance to me because obviously everybody knows I'm biased. I'm slanted. My check comes from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I want more playoff games. I got to buy, you know, food for the Twins. I got to look at gas in the automobile, those kind of things. If the Bucs keep winning in playoff games. So this is good counterbalance here. You hit on something though, that I think will be a big key in this situation. That is the Buccaneer fans full force, ready to go with their defense. And if Matt Stafford does what he's done in some of these games and makes a mistake or two early on in the game, it is big trouble. So you honed in on that right away as one of the keys here. How much stock, I asked this of previous guests when we were talking on the podcast, how much stock do you put in the first meeting where the Bucs lost in LA? It was all the way back in September. There's a revenge angle for the Bucs if you believe in it. Do you believe in the revenge angle?
I don't really buy into it. I mean, look, the most recent example you could point to Arizona and the Rams. I mean, the first time those teams played, Cards went into LA, into SoFi, and they just mutilated the Rams. I mean, that game wasn't close. And then we've seen what has happened since. And then you mentioned the Monday night game, whatever the hell that was, that Arizona and Kingsbury and Kyler Murray rolled out there. So I don't buy so much into that. And I say all this, and you pointed it out, I am not one of these fanboy Rams, apologists out here, even though their practice facility at Cal Lutheran University is legitimately 3 minute side streets away from my front door in Thousand Oaks, California. I feel like they've built up and propped up Matt Stafford way too much. I don't think there's that much of a difference between him and Jared Goff. People want to push back on that and say, well, what do you mean? They could, man, you went to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. Jared Goff won a playoff game on the road last year at Seattle when Sean McVay was trying to throw him under the bus the last couple of weeks of the season. This idea that Jared Goff was the worst quarterback in the world, I don't buy into it. I don't think there's that much of a difference, but if he starts turning the ball over, to your point, I just think Tom Brady understands the magnitude of a game, how important turnovers are in a game, and I think they're going to want to try and capitalize. And, you know, I feel guilty even hinting at the idea of the Rams pulling off an upset, because I can remember I previously mentioned that Eric Oligny, fine comedian, you could find his work all over, him and I talking back and forth via a direct message, and me previewing the 2019 Bucks and just saying, man, I really like this team. I think Jameis Winston and Bruce Arians are going to be a fine combination. And then Jameis went out there and threw 30 interceptions, and I was apologetic afterwards. So I don't want to see Tampa Bay lose this game. I'd love nothing more than to see that Tampa-Green Bay matchup in the NFC Championship game if we get there again. But there is some concern. You know, Wirfs, Jensen having to deal with Aaron Donald with, you know, the bum ankle, whatever he's got. Leonard Fournette, do we know if he's going to for sure play? I think that makes a big difference. There's just some things up in the air.
This man is breaking it down from all the way out of the West Coast. I love the insight of Jonas Knox. He's at the Jonas Knox on Twitter, KNOX. I love his insight. Fox Sports Radio, weekday mornings with LeVar Arrington, the former NFLer with the Redskins, Brady Quinn, the former Notre Dame quarterback, the former NFL quarterback with the Browns, among others. They are the pros and a cup of Joe. Great name. Every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Fox Sports Radio affiliates, over 400 of them across the country, the iHeart Radio app as well. Love the insight. And again, as we said earlier on Three Dog Thursday, we won't know about Tristan Wirfs until later in the week. We're releasing the podcast on Thursday. My inclination, this is not coming from the building, from the Buccaneers staff. As we joke, Jonas, we just play like we're doctors on podcasts or on Fox Sports Radio.
Of course.
I don't think he tries it because it's a high ankle sprain. And again, I keep coming back to, if he goes out there and tries to play, and in the first series, he can't block Von Miller because he can't walk and they can't play him. He can't stand up. He can't remain upright. They've wasted a roster spot if they do that. So I don't see how that gets much better between now and Sunday on a high ankle sprain to try it, probably rest a week and see if he can be better hypothetically for the NFC Championship game. Again, they may try it, but it's a real risk if they do. And how effective can he be against what's a great Rams pass rush attack? All right. So just one more time, we come back around to Tom Brady again, from an outsider point of view. I'm watching it field level every week. He threw for 5,000 yards this year and 43 touchdowns. He led the NFL in both. Last week, he threw for his 83rd and 84th postseason touchdowns. He still has it at 44 years of age. So give me what you see out of Tom Brady. Obviously, you think the Rams have a great chance to win, but give me a little more on Tom Brady before you go.
I mean, TJ, he's had three Hall of Fame careers. Like, think about that. He's had the first 10 years Hall of Fame, the second stint, and the second, if you want to call it dynasty in New England, after they finally got back and they beat Seattle, he won, what, three more Super Bowls?
That's right.
And then since he's turned 40, like, I mean, we're talking his 20s were Hall of Fame, his 30s were Hall of Fame, and since he's turned 40, he's been to, what, three Super Bowls and won two? Like if Eli Manning's getting to the Hall of Fame because he won two Super Bowls and not another playoff game other than those two Super Bowls, Tom Brady's had three Hall of Fame careers, his 20s, 30s, and 40s. It's why when people are trying to still throw out there, no, man, but Montana never lost a Super Bowl. We're not even talking about Joe Montana anymore. And he was fantastic, and he never threw a pick. And all of that credit where credit is due, what Brady is doing, we're never going to see again. For anybody that's a hater, and I work with several of them, whether you want to say Rob Parker
I will say, at what point is Parker ever going to do the mea culpa on Brady doesn't have it anymore? How much more do you have to see? How blind do you have to be? I think Parker sort of did the mea culpa, right? From the Odd Couple, the afternoon show, sort of.
He kind of did, but it's like that part in Bridesmaids where everybody else has got the stomach flu and she's trying to pretend like she's not bothered by the food they just ate. And so she's sweating beads of sweat down her face while her friends in the street ruining a wedding dress. Yes. Anybody see that scene? It's like, yes. Rob is still in denial. I don't have the flu. No, I'm not wrong here. It's like, dude, give it up. It's over. But love Rob Parker. What Tom Brady has done, we're never going to see again. Just enjoy it while we got it.
You want a couple more just on this? He's thrown for more touchdown passes in his 40s than Troy Aikman did in his whole career, who's in the Hall of Fame. How nuts is that kind of stat? When you start talking about 12,000 yards passing, 12,000 in the playoffs, and the next closest guy among all the Hall of Famers, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, any of them, is 5,000 yards away from that.
It's crazy. And that's why when people like to, you know, throw a little bit of shade at it and go, well, you know, in today's NFL, you can play for a lot longer. All right, but that doesn't explain 20 years ago's NFL or 10 years ago's NFL.
When he was playing, yes.
I just think we're never going to see it again. And this whole conversation about, well, how long is he going to keep playing for? Why the heck should he retire? Like, why would you walk away now?
Feel free to use this ammo from the Buck sideline guy to you, like from Russia with love, James Bond, from the Buck sideline guy with love to you. At this point, he doesn't get hit. Last week was an aberration with Philadelphia hitting him and sacking him four times, and Wirfs going down had a lot to do with that as the right tackle. Most games, he only gets hit a couple of times. So it almost becomes like Madden football video game, like 7-on-7. So to think that physically he wouldn't be ready to play again in 2022, I don't know what you're watching when he doesn't get hit if he wants to keep playing. Now, if they go on, I know you didn't ask me this, but I'm just putting it out there. Feel free to use it. If they go on to win again, if they somehow go on to win another one, and it is now Super Bowl number 8, and it's back-to-back with the Buccaneers, and you've got every record imaginable, and you've proven it times two leaving New England, would that be enough to say, that's it, deuces, sunset, I'm great, that's a wrap? I don't know, but I would not doubt him even off of back-to-back Super Bowl saying, I'm going to try it one more time. I'm going to go for three, and I can still play, Jonas. I don't know.
I think it's more likely if they go on to win another one. In fact, this hasn't been talked about, but I've wondered this. When's Bruce Arians walking away?
True.
Because I don't know if it's going to be Todd Bowles. I don't know if it's going to be Leftwich, but I've heard Bruce Arians in an interview say that, you know, part of the reason why he definitely wanted to come back was he was going to keep his coordinators, that they were going to be returning. And that made his job a lot more enjoyable, a lot easier, because he had so much trust in those guys. if they win another one, I would not surprise me if we're seeing either Leftwich or if we're seeing Todd Bowles as the head coach next season with Tom Brady trying to go for three straight at all. Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, and again, they're interviewing as we speak for jobs, depending on what happens here. And who knows? Who knows about any of this? Because it could be over with this Sunday. And basically, Jonas Knox is trying to rain on my parade, and I'm being cool with it, that the Rams are going to end it this weekend. But let's just see. If they win this weekend, look out. I don't even care going to Lambeau. Look out, because they beat the Packers a year ago at Lambeau, beat them twice last year. So stay tuned for all of this on how it plays out. I do know this. This is great fodder. We need to do this again at some point. It's been far too long in this football season. That's because this guy's so stinking busy. Keep up the great work, Jonas Knox. Again, plug away on your show on Fox Sports Radio. How they find it, how they find you. Go.
Yeah, it's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and myself, two pros and a cup of Joe. It's weekdays, 6 a.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific. It's a lot of fun. It's morning drive. We don't take ourselves too serious. We'll get after it a little bit. And then I do a show on Saturdays as well, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time, just myself, 7 to 9 Pacific. You can get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox. No, I don't think I'm a B. I had Jonas Knox on Twitter, but I forgot my password. Now I can't get into the account, so I had to change it. It's a whole mess, but all of that is there, and it's been a lot of fun, Teej. You're my guy, and it's been way too long, as you mentioned, and we got to do it again soon for sure.
And the fact that you worked in the Publix pretzels references, listening to me eat those during the breaks on the radio show on Saturday nights, and I always took it as a compliment that you said, man, I was always ready for the bowl season and the college football draft, the NFL draft, just from being with TJ on Saturday nights. That was the ultimate compliment for me, and you did great work with that, and you deserve everything that's happening right now with your career.
And true story, quickly, the reason why I remember Publix pretzels is because when you said Publix, I'm from Southern California. I lived in the South in Charleston for a little while. I knew Piggly Wiggly, mm-hmm. but I'm like, what the hell is Publix? We have Ralph's and Vaughn's. What is he talking about? And then we were at Super Bowl in Miami waiting for the Uber, and I look across the street and I see a Publix, and I'm like, that's what it is. And it took me all the way back. So it was just like this mind-blowing revelation in the middle of Super Bowl week. So there you go.
And like my twins like to say, well, they are good pretzels. They are good pretzels. So it is good stuff. Free plug for them. We should get them to sponsor the podcast. Keep up the great work on Fox Sports Radio. Thank you, Jonas Knox. I always love your insight. Even if you're about to be wrong about the Rams as an underdog, he also does have Cincinnati as a doggy too. Keep up the great work with LeVar and Brady on Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. Thank you, my friend.
Teej, you're the best.
And there we go. That will do it for this edition of Three Dog Thursday on the divisional playoff round weekend. Again, I like the San Francisco 49ers, who at the time that we're releasing the podcast are getting 6 points at Lambeau to not only keep it close, but have a chance to upset Green Bay. And oh my goodness, if the 49ers pull this off, another upset after beating the Rams just to get into the playoffs on the final regular season day, and then they turn around and beat the Cowboys in Dallas last week. Now, if they beat the Packers at Lambeau, that sets up that the Buccaneer-Ram winner is going to host the NFC title game. Tom Brady, a chance to host that title game. Bring it on for that matchup Saturday night. And a San Francisco win to set that into motion. And I like the Bills as well. It's only a couple of points, a point and a half, 2 points. I like the Bills to win this game outright and upset Kansas City. I think Buffalo, honestly, is the team to beat right now in the AFC after what I've seen, as I was explaining earlier with Tyler and also with Jonas and with Brian Edwards. I like those Buffalo Bills chances. Let's find out if they can get it done. So there we go. There are my two underdogs for the weekend. You heard the different guests with their underdog thoughts and plays. Let's find out what's going to go on in the divisional round. This time next week, we know the final four in the NFL with the NFC and AFC championship games. Berths in Super Bowl 56 at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles will be on hand next week. My thanks to Brian Edwards from Vegas Insider, MajorWager.com. Also, thanks to Tyler Jones with the Jones Report and the Let's Go Racing podcast with David Starr that he's on every week. Thanks also to Jonas Knox of Fox Sports Radio, the morning host with LeVar Arrington, and also Brady Quinn, Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports Radio, their affiliates, the iHeartRadio app, SiriusXM to find Fox Sports Radio. And again, thank you for finding us, however you did so. Social media links, Sports Gambling Podcast Network of Shows, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Again, follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Three Dog Thursday continues to have thousands and thousands and thousands of you listening each and every week and each and every month to these shows. New listeners finding us all the time. Spread the word, follow us, and subscribe on Three Dog Thursday. For now, we are done. We are good. We thank you for being with us. Good luck to all of our prognosticators with the underdogs. Good luck to my BUCCANEERS. Is it back to the NFC Championship game for the Go Bucks for the second year in a row and the fourth time ever? Let's see if that is the case. I know we'll be talking all about it next week, who's in the championship games and more. Thank you for being with me. I'm TJ Reeves on Three Dog Thursday. Woof, woof.